Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
It's time to shake out your money-making truth. You're listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Have you ever wondered why some people work really hard for their money while others live lives of joy and abundance with seemingly little effort? You are about to learn powerful, tangible steps to shifting your mindset and connecting to your flow of money and abundance. Jennifer teaches you to connect to who you are at a soul level, and how to use that connection to create a personal and specific relationship with money. Learn how money is a powerful tool to achieve your desires and your desires to then serve the world. So shake out your money-making truth right now. Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom.
Hello and welcome, everybody. I'm Jennifer Bloom. I am your host for Soul Wisdom Abundance, Create Wealth Through Spiritual Health. I am delighted that you're here and joining us and feeding your curiosity about how to, I'll put bunny ears around it, do money differently. And it's a passion of mine. As you've listened to the podcast for a while, you'll understand that. And I think it really starts with understanding that many of us were raised in this old model that money is transactional, right? I do X amount of action and I get X amount of dollars. And if I want more dollars, then I have to do more action. And doing things on this planet is always going to bring money, but that's not really where the origin of money is. That's not really where things start. Money starts with the understanding that we are in relationship with the divine, with money and with the divine. All of us have an individual and unique connection, that individual and very specific relationship with money. And the more that we lean into that, the more that we learn more about that, the more we can start to create, I love the word magic, the more we can create magic in how we create money. And if you're interested beyond the podcast in learning more about this, please join me over on my Facebook page, which is Soul Abundance Guide. I'd love to have you over there as well. All right, so let's get down to business about what we're going to talk about today. So the idea of individual and specific and soul are going to be key components to the conversation. In my last podcast a couple of weeks ago, my guest and I spoke about the importance of being overdoing in your business and how important that is. And I want to take that conversation even further with my guest today, because the more you can rely on your own inner wisdom, the more you bring yourself into business or really whatever it is you do, the more you're going to express yourself in a way that is magnetic to other people, magnetic to money, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so let me bring my guest into this conversation because she has so much wisdom to share here. My guest is Jill Brown. She hails from the UK. And I don't always do this in introductions, but I want to talk a little bit. Those of you who've listened to the podcast for a while know that I work with a paradigm called soul language, which is all about putting tangibility to soul. And Jill is a double peacemaker. What that means is that her personal energies carry the mission of peacemaker, and her business carries the energy of peacemaker. And when you listen to her, you're going to understand what peacemaker is all about. She's also a transformer and a philosopher. So in other words, she asks some really amazing questions to help people and herself transform. And from what I can tell, too, from talking to Jill, she has used her own inner wisdom in a variety of ways for a very long time, getting herself out of a double knee replacement at reversing diabetes, and then stepping into the world of life coaching, but in a way that nobody else has done that. She will speak to us about her soul avatar process, and I'm excited to learn. And then the other piece here is she says that she's an advanced practitioner of conversational intelligence, which I'm going to have to learn more about because I know nothing about. But before we just jump into that, I just want to say welcome, Jill. I'm so glad that you're here.
Thank you so much. I'm I'm really excited to be here with you and to share this conversation, because it means so much to me.
I know.
I admire the work that you do so much, and to share this conversation is just wonderful. And thank you.
Yeah, I think we're gonna have it's gonna be a lovely conversation. Yeah. So, all right, so speaking of the word conversation, can you tell me a little bit about what conversational intelligence is? It's something brand new to me. I've never heard of that practice before.
It's been around for a long time, and it was created by somebody who has passed away now, unfortunately, Judith Glaser. And she developed this communication of, in fact, the story she tells, and I'll tell it quickly, is that she was in front of a huge room of people and she wasn't sure what she was going to say. And she just said, "Dear God, please help me." And she picked up a marker pen and did an arc. And she looked at it and she said, all these hundreds of faces looking at her. And she just said, "Okay, what now?" And then words came to her for trust and mistrust and co-creating. And she created this dashboard of moving from a place of distrust to trust. So that is the basis, very simply and quickly put,
right.
Conversational intelligence.
Well, I can see how that weaves into your work, right? Of being able to step into that place of trust and divinity and soul and ask questions and really know that those answers are going to be forthcoming.
Yeah. And it's when you go into distrust, you've gone into the amygdala, and then you have the amygdala hijack. And when you come back into trust, you move back into the prefrontal cortex.
So you're actually able to think through things, right? The amygdala is all about emotional discharge, fight and flight, right? The four F's, but we won't go through all of those. But yes, my neuroscience training comes in handy every once in a while. So, but it's important though, right? Because I think that, you know, I'd love to start this conversation and building from here and thinking about, you know, when we're doing something new. So let's say we're new in business, or we're new to a certain aspect of our life or an aspect of our business. I think that we do tend to be, we want to do the right thing, right? Yeah. We want to do what's going to produce results.
Yeah.
And we get afraid that we're not going to know what the answer is because it's brand new to us. So we slip back maybe into that amygdala. We slip out of our cortex and we start to get panicky. And then we reach for something to help. And a lot of times that's somebody else's model, right? Yeah. That's you know, somebody who's done it before. And, you know, as I say that out loud, that doesn't sound like a bad thing. Except when it doesn't work. And I know that you have quite a history of that. Can you share a little bit about your process with that, or your experience with reaching for somebody else's model and then knowing what you need to do something different?
The thing is, we are a treasure chest of gold and beautiful gems, and they're all there inside. And what happens is somebody shows something shiny over here, and then there's something shiny over there, and you end up heading off to all these shiny objects, and you miss all the gold that's inside, and everything that you've got, all the answers that you've got, because whatever that is that's created over there isn't created for you. You know, and it will work for some people. Everything works for some people. the only thing that will work for you every time is what comes from within.
Yes. And I think that, you know, that process of learning how to trust that that is true is, that can be kind of a bit of a rocky road.
Oh, that's really hard. Because we just don't trust that. It's far easier to trust someone else than to trust ourselves. And yet when we can trust ourselves and we see the beauty that we can create and the magic that we can bring, then why search outside?
Indeed. So what would you say the catalysts have been for you to turn that reflection inside?
Definitely knowing my soul language.
Mm.
That was a big change for me. And actually taking that conversation internal and looking for the guidance. And it was there. You know, the guidance is there. And there's not this need to run around searching everywhere. And yes, you know, we're human. We sometimes think this doesn't make sense. It's not going the way I want it to. And maybe, you know, I want it now. And we end up thinking, well, other people are having it now. What's wrong with me? As opposed to, you know, well, okay, maybe it's not today or tomorrow or next week. But it is mine.
Yeah, so you've said two things that I want to flesh out here. The first is, if there are four words that we could banish, or a four-word phrase that we could banish from this planet, it would be, what's wrong with me?
Oh, yeah.
Right? And I think that I have used that multiple thousands of times in my career. So I'm well-versed in the, you know, if something isn't happening for me, that means I'm broken. Right. That's sort of where that's my go-to point. Right. There's something wrong with me. I'm broken. I'm not enough. And then you said, you know, very well of somebody else has it now. Yeah. And I want it now. And I think that one of the reasons why we want it now is because there can be discomfort in that space. Right. Yeah. Whether we're not trusting that something's going to come, or whether we think that we need a certain amount of success or result in a certain amount of time, again, to prove our worthiness,
yeah.
Right? So what do you think the antidote, that's a big question, the antidote to those two big pieces?
Yeah, they are
wise woman, tell me.
I think basically the answer is trust. And trust without doubt at all. Because when we can just step into trust, the why is somebody got it and I haven't? Why can't I have it today? That disappears. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we should be taking joy in the things we have today. I mean, nobody's promised tomorrow. So if we're not really enjoying this moment, you know, I mean, this moment with us sharing this conversation, yeah. If we aren't taking joy in this, you know, what's the point of stomping about anything else that we haven't had?
Right. I think when we get caught up in the what's next, or something's not here, we do forget to be present moment, don't we? We forget to take in the joy. Like, I was out for a drive last night. My husband and I were running a few errands, and the full moon was coming up. And it was the most glorious moon I've seen, I don't know, in a very long time. It happened to be a very clear night. And we just deviated. We just found a road that we could take where we could be watching that moon the whole time, right? And that's what it is. That's what life really is about, right? Those moments and the joy. And
You can't buy that.
No. No.
You know, they're the absolute joy moments that are just there and they're free. Mm-hmm. And they're so valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I was doing some gardening on the weekend, and the thing that occurred to me is even when everything is dormant for winter, there's still growth. And when we stop doing something and we need that time where we go within, we think there's something wrong because we're not doing.
Yeah.
And we don't see the growth in that time. But it's the inner nourishment, and it leads to so much more growth again.
Beautifully said. Beautifully said. You know, and I think we get to find a way of reframing if something isn't here yet. We get to reframe that in a brand new way. So, for example, when I started out in my entrepreneurial career, I was working with women who were dealing with infertility. And so when they would walk around a mall or, you know, some sort of outdoor place and there would be pregnant women everywhere, it was painful, right? Like, why her and not me? Mm-hmm. And what we started to reframe that as was, isn't this amazing that I have shown up in this time and place to see these women who have been successful in what I want? That must mean it's on its way to me.
Yeah.
Right. And that's just one reframe. And I think that, you know, whether we're reframing the actual situation or whether we're saying, let's take the joy in every moment, that helps us build into that being state that allows things to flow. Because if we're constantly chasing, if we're going after the latest model because we think we need to be that person who's the 6 or 7 figure creator or the one who has the signature system and the this and the that, you know, and again, none of those are bad things.
No.
But it has to resonate with us, right?
Yeah. That's the important thing. What I always do is I always meditate and I say those words of whatever it is. And then I notice how it feels in my body. And if I feel myself shrinking, I know that doesn't resonate. And that's not going to be good to look in that direction. If I feel myself expanding, then I know that's a good pursuit.
I love that you've connected it with the body, right? Because we carry not only characteristics of our soul, but we carry the ability to get yeses and nos for ourselves, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. And
absolutely we do.
And I think that we've trained ourselves out of that a little bit as a general population. But there are so many ways to learn and to listen and to understand what's really in alignment with us.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, I tell you what, we've got a lot of good conversation yet to have, but we need to get to a quick break. We're listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance on Transformation Talk Radio. When we come back, I would love, Jill, for you to talk about your soul avatar work, and we'll go more deeply there. So stay tuned. We've got a lot more to talk about.
Yeah, yippee skippy to that, baby. We're not done yet. Some of us are out here to educate and inspire. This year, 2020, is the year. We got to show me the money in the cash flow. I'm Dr. Pat. This is the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By.
Visit thedrpatshow.com.
Hello, I'm Carrie Kadambi, and this is your Spirited Exchange Moment. Do you want to be the best you can be? Do you want to live your dream life? Anything is possible when you choose to consciously evolve. Begin by noticing your reaction to things in your everyday life. When a reaction is uncomfortable, this is a sign that there's an inner root cause that has triggered you and is calling out to be healed. Take action to transform and heal those limiting beliefs or trauma experiences that no longer serve you. Take time daily to recognize your reactions and then set out to heal and release them using one of many somatic healing modalities available. How will you choose to evolve today? Join me on Transformation Talk Radio for my show, A Spirited Exchange. For more information about me, visit thedivineguidancegift.com.
Get empowered on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to Soul Wisdom Abundance. I'm your host, Jennifer Bloom, and I'm here with my guest, Jill Brown. So Jill, actually, before we step into the conversation about Soul Avatar, can you let people know how to find you if they're curious about your work and want to learn more?
Okay. It always goes out of my head when I'm asked on the spot.
I'm sure.
People can find me on Facebook as Jill C. Brown, and I have a group there, Advanced Life Coaching, and my business page, Jill Advanced Life Coaching. So they can find me there. I'm also on LinkedIn, but I'm just under Jill Brown on LinkedIn.
I know, all these different places. And yeah, people can go to the show notes, and there'll be all of those links will be there. But I would highly recommend folks taking a look at getting to know your work a little bit deeper. So let's step into that. We've been talking about listening to answers within our system. We've been talking about creating business on your own terms. And when we talked before the show, you were sharing with me about this new piece of work that you're doing with the Soul Avatar. Can you share both about like what it is, but also how you allowed that to come through you? Because I think that is fascinating, and it really demonstrates the process of listening and really trusting your own inner wisdom.
Thank you. I had a huge difficulty with the client avatar or the client profile. And at one point I had 5. And then people started saying to me, oh, but you can't have, you must have one. And it's got to be the more narrow and everything. And it makes sense, you know, on certain things to get really specific. But it just didn't sit with me. And one day I just saw a poster. And it was a fox. And I can't remember what the other animal was. And they were nose to nose. And it just said, souls recognize souls. And something changed inside. I felt that. And I thought, it doesn't matter how I go in detail. If I was a fox, I would never describe that other animal. And yet, they're a soul connection.
Yeah.
So that was the birth of the Soul Avatar. And I really couldn't explain it at first. And I wanted to talk about it. And I thought, how can I put an offering out with no blueprint, nothing to send anyone, and no steps to follow? How can I talk about that? And I started questioning. It can't be enough. And the answer kept coming back, it's enough. And I started, one day I just said, oh, I'm offering soul avatar. And people started wanting to talk about it. Mm-hmm. No more. And you know, the question was, what do I read? What can I? And I said, there's nothing to read. And I said, you turn up and you have a notebook and a pen and we start from there. And everything comes from the person opposite me. It's not my blueprint. What happens is we create theirs. And everything comes from within that person, from their soul. And that creates the words and the colors and the music and whatever else comes up that they can use so that the people who are looking for them can find them.
And so as they step into this wisdom that's coming out of their soul, what happens? Is it that they allow themselves to be seen on a variety of levels? I would talk about vibrational, right? Words and colors and music have a certain vibration, have a certain frequency, and that's an attractor. As well as that willingness to be seen for who you are.
Yeah. And what a lot of people say is that they suddenly have this list of words and they say, oh, none of these words are on my website. None of these words are in anything I ever talk about. And fear of having content and things to say, suddenly it's like, oh, I've got so much to say. And there's so much to talk about. And suddenly that fear of not being able to talk about what they think they should talk about goes, because now they're talking about what comes from the soul. And it's their message. It's what they want to say to people. Uh-huh. And it does make you a bit like Vegemite, you know, the people either love or hate.
Right.
It's a good thing.
Oh, yes. Yes, and I would love for you to say more about that, because that can be a big fear, right? If you get out there and you are shining your unique self, there are going to be people who disagree with you. Yeah. Or, right? And in terms of Vegemite, I would imagine, you know, there are people who strongly disagree with Vegemite. Yeah. And are going to tell you, right? Yeah. Yeah. So how does having the knowledge that things are coming from your soul, how does that help to disperse some of the fear?
Well, do you know, even if you aren't doing it from the soul and you're being vanilla, there is still going to be people that really don't like you and will tell you strongly. And I think that hurts more, because when you're doing it from the soul and the people say, I really don't like you and I'd never work with you, you can think, that's really good.
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't work with us anyway.
And yeah, please go ahead.
You need that. When I used to teach people to drive, I always used to ask the question, do you want to learn to pass your test or do you want to learn to drive?
Mm.
And if it was they wanted to learn to pass their test, I would say you need a different instructor. And I feel the same with what I do now as a coach. You know, do you want the transformation? Do you want to make the changes? Or do you want the quick fix? You know?
And you know yourself well enough that you are not the quick fix person.
No.
Right? No. That is never going to, and a person who comes in wanting a quick fix is not going to be happy with whatever, you know, they're going to like sit down and talk to my soul and give words and whatever. How does that help? Right? They're going to be out the door.
Yes.
And I think that, you know, when we focus on needing a certain amount of money to prove our worth, right? The people who say you have to be a six-figure coach or you just have a hobby, right? I think it scares us into thinking we need to work with everybody, right? I need to, because if I don't work with everybody, I'm never going to make the kind of money that I need.
And the thing is to say, if you're not making six figures, it's just a hobby. That's so insulting.
Well, it is, isn't it?
It is. I mean, that is shaming and hurtful and harming. You know, because why should we feel? I mean, would you go and say to Mother, you know, gone and said to Mother Teresa, well, you don't earn six figures, all the peace and love and everything that you bring and helping people is just a hobby? You know, it was our life's work.
Yeah.
And she made nothing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, that's a whole other conversation that we could have, right? But it's, again, it's about choosing what you want. And if there's a certain dollar figure that you want because of the lifestyle you want to live or the things you want to do in the world, fantastic, right? If that really resonates with you, fantastic, but do it from that place. I think there's so much shaming that's done in the coaching industry. And I don't want to take us too far down this path because we're in a really lovely zone talking about soul and all of that. But it's worth mentioning to people, right? And again, whether you are working for yourself or whether you're working for a paycheck, you know, there's, you know, you need to keep advancing or you need to have this many dollars for your family or whatever. Whenever something comes from a place of shame, it's time to let that move on, right? Mm-hmm. If it creates a feeling of shame or guilt within your system, it's time to take that advice and just move it to the side and find a different way to look at things, right?
And it's not even always around the money. It can be anything where somebody says to you, so you want to stay in that problem?
Yeah.
You know, you want to live there? Are you not worth, you know? And it creates the wrong way of moving out of things.
Right. When we're in that guilt or shame or fear or problem mindset, we can't do anything with that.
No.
Right? There's nowhere to go other than down. You're there, you're going to get wrapped. I mean, it's physics. Wherever your focus is, you're going to stay. Yeah. So if we get more focused into a solution, right? I talk about being the energy of the solution. That's one way to think about it, or to ask a more expansive question, right? So actually, that's a good question. Let me ask you, when people are getting stuck or they want to make this transition into more of an internal based basis for the work that they're doing, what are some good questions? What are some good expansive questions that they can start to ask to allow things to shift from, well, I'm following somebody's model to I'm tuning and trusting my own wisdom?
Well, the one exercise, what I shared earlier with the meditation and questioning that model, the question, and seeing how that feels in the body and seeing if you're shrinking or expanding, that is a really good exercise for knowing internally what you want. And, you know, ask yourself why. Why are you looking at that model? What is the reason behind it? And, you know, if we can't be honest with ourselves, you know, we can't be honest with anybody else. The honesty has to start there, and the integrity. And what does it take to be able to look in the mirror and look yourself in the eye and smile and say, I really like you? You know, we're all looking at ourselves these days saying, I love you. Mm-hmm. You know, there's all this self-love. But can you really like yourself? And is following that blueprint keeping you in your integrity? You know, so it's really about questioning yourself.
Yeah, being able to, as I take a deep breath, take that deep breath, right? And and relax and let go of the shoulds and the have to's and the need to's and the finger pointing of, like, you know, this is what's right and what's wrong, and tune in, right? You and I, who both know our soul language, that's another way to start asking those questions. Because that gives a tangible method, a tangible part of you to start answering those questions. Yeah. But whether you know them or not, your body is going to respond. And so we get, right, being able to get into that feeling state is going to be incredibly powerful.
Oh, it changes everything, because you don't doubt anymore. You know, you don't look and think, oh, should I, shouldn't I? It's yes, no.
Yeah, and you were sharing something really interesting with me when we're thinking about, as we show up in our integrity, right, as we show up who we are and the frequency that is, you were sharing a heart math principle about how the heart recognizes before the mind. Can you say a little bit more about that and how that supports everything that we've been talking about?
Yeah. The heart math have done the science behind it, so, you know, anybody can check it out. But the heart actually sees, I think it's 6 seconds before the brain. And then the brain sees it, and then the heart and brain see it together. But the heart has its own mini brain. And what they've also discovered is that the way the heart feels can change the way the brain feels. So when we step into that heart place, that's where we get the truth. The brain's trying to work everything out. That's what it's there for. But also when we move into the heart, we can also access a higher part of the brain that we can't normally reach. So I'm a big fan of heart math for the science and, you know, the work they've done around it to prove it, because people like proof, don't they?
Yeah, there's something, it helps the trust factor, I think, yeah. You know, and I think there's things that we can measure really well, and there's some other things that we have to go by feeling state, right? That expanding and contracting. But what I talk to people about is to do some experimenting, right? That if you play around, if you experiment and say, okay, I followed through on that thing that I felt contracted, what happened? Or I followed through on that thing where I felt expansive, what happened? And then you build up your own body of proof, which then, again, builds in one more layer of trust, right?
Yes. And also, you're feeding your brain good data.
Mm-hmm.
Because the amygdala is like this little guy in a dark room with no windows. And somebody comes through the door and gives data. So when we're going to do anything new or try anything, you know, this little guy is saying, what's the data? And if the brain's going, there's no data, we don't know what the outcome is, the amygdala goes, oh, we'd better panic and do something. And anxiety sets in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when we can be feeding the brain the data we want it to have, we can change what happens in our responses, because we're not going into this place of panic, and we can reduce the anxiety and change our outcome.
So powerful. That's such a powerful process that you just described, because I know that, you know, a lot of us are used to doing things out of anxiety and fear, and doesn't get us very far, right? It just brings more anxiety and fear.
If you have deep anxiety and somebody says to you, you shouldn't worry about it, that makes that person more anxious, because then they're worrying about the fact they shouldn't be worrying.
Right. No win situation, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Jill, we are in the last few seconds here. So we could continue talking about this forever, I think. So I want to tell you thank you. For all of your wisdom and for sharing Soul Avatar with us, and for really helping people start to understand how they can look inward and allow that to lead them forward.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Yes. All right. So I'm going to encourage everyone to take a look at Jill's site so that you can learn more about her work. And we are now going to take a quick break. You're listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance on Transformation Talk Radio, and we'll return in a moment.
Yeah, yippee skippy to that, baby. We're not done yet. Some of us are out here to educate and inspire. This year, 2020, is the year we gotta show me the money in the cash flow. I'm Dr. Pat. This is the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By.
Visit thedrpatshow.com.
Hello, I'm Carrie Kadambi, and this is your Spirited Exchange Moment. Do you want to be the best you can be? Do you want to live your dream life? Anything is possible when you choose to consciously evolve. Begin by noticing your reaction to things in your everyday life. When a reaction is uncomfortable, this is a sign that there's an inner root cause that has triggered you and is calling out to be healed. Take action to transform and heal those limiting beliefs or trauma experiences that no longer serve you. Take time daily to recognize your reactions and then set out to heal and release them using one of many somatic healing modalities available. How will you choose to evolve today? Join me on Transformation Talk Radio for my show, A Spirited Exchange. For more information about me, visit thedivineguidancegift.com.
Get empowered on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to Soul Wisdom Abundance. I am your host, Jennifer Bloom, and it was a great conversation with Jill Brown, all about learning and thinking about working from the inside out, really, right? To be able to connect to that gold, that wisdom that's within each of us. And to allow that to really inform the steps that we take, whether we are in business for ourselves or whether you are, living life, working in another person's business, whatever it is, right? We have wisdom that we can tap into. I would like to take this last segment and talk about another way to really be able to understand who we are and our relationship with money. Because there is so much wisdom that is in this relationship with money that when you tap into, it's going to help you understand how to work with it throughout your days. Okay. And I want to do that. No surprise. I want to talk about it through the lens of soul language. And a quick reminder, I spoke a little bit about it at the beginning, but soul language is a paradigm that brings tangibility to our soul. There's 107 different languages of the divine. We bring three of those energies with us when we come onto the planet. And those are our personal soul languages. And then we also bring in three energies to support any relationship that we are in. And that includes our relationship with money. We can identify those three energies that are supporting your individual and specific relationship with money. And again, the more you know about this relationship, the more you can choose action steps that are going to be in alignment, which are going to allow more money to flow. So what I'd love to do is to talk to you about a couple of clients of mine and share their languages with you so that you can really start to get an understanding, a deeper flavor of what this is all about, okay? So I work actually with one of my clients. I work with her, and I also work with her husband. And this is kind of a fun way to really see how knowing your specific information can help in a lot of ways, okay? So my client, the three languages that are supporting her relationship with money are called matriarch, patriarch, strategist, and deliberator. So what does that mean? So her shared mission with money is held under the description of matriarch, patriarch. So this is all about creating a community so that she is the leader of the community around her money. All right. So she very much carries an energy that helps her be in charge, helps her really take a look at her overarching money story, but also whatever money she touches, she really is the leader. Now, strategist is all about being able to have the skill of seeing the big picture around money and understanding the strategies that are going to take you to having that, whatever that big picture is for you, whatever your big vision is for how you work with money. And then deliberator is the being state. It's the how you show up and work with your money. And for her, you can feel it almost in the word deliberator. She prefers, the energy that she brought, prefers to have a little bit of time to think pros and cons. Okay. So if you take a look at her, if we take a look at just sort of the story of her languages, she leads in any type of money situation, and she has these really grounded skills to be able to think strategy, to think long-term, big picture. I know how I want to get there, but I'm going to take my time. I'm going to really think about things. Okay. So that's my client. Now, her husband, on the other hand, his languages are elemental, wanderer, and alchemist. Elemental is all about understanding the building blocks of the universe, really understanding the fundamental nature magic, so to speak, that creates money. And to be able to use those building blocks of nature, whether you think about them as air, fire, water, spirit, or you think about them as thought, emotion, action, and container, right? He really understands how to move those around to allow money to flow, right? Wanderer is all about having roots in a certain way of doing money, but also understanding that there are lots of different ways to do that. So he is somebody who is going to have lots of different ways to bring in money. Maybe not all at once, but it could be all at once, or maybe he has different times in his life where he's doing different kinds of work. And then alchemist, right? All about turning lead into gold. It's all about turning something in or nothing into something. Now, again, take that big picture view of his languages. He has a very magical, very not grounded way of looking at money. He knows he can create whatever he wants whenever he wants it. It doesn't matter. He doesn't need a strategy. He doesn't need to think about things. He just knows he can create what he wants when he wants it. So if we just pause for a moment, right? Think about my client who has this, right? Who's going to lead, who's got a strategy, who's very deliberate. And then her husband who has this really magical approach. A little bit of loggerheads, right? When it comes to how's the family going to do money? So when you each understand, so before they knew their languages, right, there's a lot of arguing about how to handle the finances and complete misunderstanding of each other. And once they each understood their own individual relationship with money, and they understood the other person's relationship with money, now they're able to create conversations that they both can understand, right? He understands that she carries this innate ability, really, to be that leader. So he's willing to allow her to do that. And she understands that it's going to drive him insane if she talks through all of these different methods and structures. He offers what he has as his understanding of magic, and she can bring that into her strategy, that big picture, something that's going to really allow them both to interact. Okay. Now, in addition to each to them being able to come together as a couple, they each then get to be able to settle in to what they each need, okay, in quotes, to be able to allow their own personal money flows to flow. And what's beautiful about this paradigm is that these aren't just archetypes. They're not just names. They're not just tendencies. They are literal energies of the divine that you can learn to have a conversation with. So, Jill Brown was talking about that feeling of expansion and contraction when you are questioning whether you want to do something or not, right? So when you pair that with the soul language paradigm, you get this really strong ability to be able to ask a question and listen to the response from your team, and that team can share it as a feeling in your body. It can share it in images or however it is that you get your information. Okay. So what I really want you to understand, whether you ever know what your soul languages are or not, is that the more information, the more you spend time understanding what your unique individual relationship is with money, the more that you can play with it in a way that is satisfying, right? It's no fun to be at loggerheads. If you carry a relationship that's really strong and grounded and you're trying to make it magical, it's going to drive you crazy and vice versa, right? So my invitation to you is to really play with this knowing that you have a relationship with money. Start to ask those bigger questions. Start to allow yourself to connect with money itself, the energy of money, and start asking some questions about who you get to be with money. Pay attention to what makes you feel expanded. Pay attention to what makes you feel contracted. And if there's a certain way of handling money or doing money that makes you feel contracted, ask for what the solution is. What's that next step? All right. So there's so much to learn and to dive into about your relationship with money. If you are curious about the Soul Language Paradigm, you can connect with me at my website, which is jenniferbloom.com, and you can set up a free 15-minute session, and I will identify one of your languages. All right, and you can start to play with that. And if you're just curious about how to work in this new realm of money, please come and join me. As I mentioned at the top of the show, join me over at the Soul Abundance Guide page on Facebook. Ask questions, participate in the conversations. Would love to have you over there. All right. So thank you again for tuning in, for showing up with your curiosity about how to do money differently. I'm going to invite you to please visit Joel Brown's website and get a chance to get to know her work better. There's lots more to have in a conversation, and I'm here every the first and third Friday. So until we meet again, I offer each and every one of you prosperous blessings. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about Jennifer Bloom or listen to past shows, visit JenniferBloom.com. You can subscribe to this podcast on any of your favorite podcasting outlets. Simply search Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom.